purpose, critique, review, education, just straight out positivity. The Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents...
It's the Nerdlings Podcast, and I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host.
And this is the heat-stroking Jersey Mike. It is hot in Vegas. Your junior host.
It is hot in Vegas, and we were getting ready to do this podcast last week, and nimble-fingered me accidentally hit the delete button and wiped out every music file that I had.
And why was that? Was it heat stroke? Probably.
But we'll let that go. So anyway, Appetite for Destruction. It's kind of fitting that we're doing the review. We're going to do a four-part podcast. This is going to be aside from the other Nerdlings podcasts. Because, by the way, Mark Dawson, lead singer of The Grassroots, we did a second podcast with him. That's coming up tomorrow.
Listen, you guys got to hear that. That was just pure magic, positive energy. That is something, what do you call that thing? You can just put it on all day?
Loop.
The loop all day.
Loop it. But first, we're going to do some Appetite for Destruction, some Guns N' Roses. We're going to basically be doing this live. Normally, when we do this, the music is put together in a fashion where I do a lot of hardcore editing. No hardcore editing here. Straight music, straight, just, you know, fill in the blanks. That's the way it goes.
Hey, you know what you got to say? GNR, Appetite for Destruction, / Axl Rose. I'm bad on the other musicians.
/ Duff McKagan.
But just these guys,
the originals,
when they put this out, who would have thought 30 years later, 35 plus years later, we're going to be listening to a box set?
Yeah, a box set. And I mean, the other three discs, which we're going to do over the next 3 weeks. But first, we're going to focus on all the tracks from the album.
In that one video, I think it's Paradise City. I love it when Axl Rose is stoned, but he's pointing to his artist where it says all access to everything. Wow.
So, Appetite for Destruction, released July 21st, 1987. As of to date, it has sold 30 million copies worldwide. In just the U.S., it is the 11th best album ever sold. Okay?
Wow.
Being released on the market, you can get the deluxe 2-CD set, or you can get the super deluxe set. And then there's the super deluxe mega death locked and loaded for $999.
I have to jump in with one other question.
Box set, it's got for $1,000. Okay? It comes in a wooden cabinet. Every LP is in there. It's in vinyl. You're going to get postcards, a skull ring, there's pins, there's guitar picks. Just this oodles of memorabilia. More than I really want to deal with.
$1,000?
Yep.
I wonder how many are custom made. Were they 100, 500, or sorry, 1,000? I'm curious how many is it a setup?
Well, it's kind of fitting that we're doing it by delay because actually Appetite for Destruction has re-entered in the top 10.
Wow.
It's number 10 and climbing again. They sold 33,000 copies last week. Now, you know, 33,000 copies in 2018 might get you into the top 10, but 33,000 copies 35 years ago, 30 years ago...
Didn't get you anywhere.
That won't even get you to the Hot 100. Not even a mention in Reader's Digest.
Goes to show you how vinyl versus, digital age...
Changes.
Completely changed.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get started with this. We're going to go down to each song. Let's hit it first with Welcome to the Jungle. And no, we will not probably play all the songs completely just because you need to go buy it. And you're going to be noticing a little less quality on this because you need to go buy it. The purpose of this is for critique review. So here's track one, Welcome to the Jungle.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's 90 seconds of it for you for Welcome to the Jungle. We've all heard it. We all know how it goes. What's your critique of the title track?
Never change. Just gets the same as when I was 13, 14 years old. It makes you just like, wow, who the hell are these guys? They are the coolest MFs in rock.
If you remember the music video, Axl Rose is doing that dance where he starts doing. And then everybody, I was 87, everybody was immediately comparing it to Davy Jones of the Monkees when he's doing that little shuffle in the Daydream Believer music video.
And they both had long scarves. Axl put it in his pocket. Davy Jones wore his, if you remember.
Yeah, around his neck, yeah.
So it's a lot of combinations here. Like you said, two right there.
Nobody's ever done any scientific. I'm not sure if you could do any scientific, but something, track it back to see if Axl Rose, to get that little sway back and forth from Davy Jones. Who knows?
It's a little comparison, little close, too. They both had the long scarves, too. Who knows what else they had
probably,
from comparison.
You know, this is something, actually, I could do. I could go back, look at tour schedules, and see if at any point the Monkees, or say if Axl Rose or Guns N' Roses, because at the time, you know, the tours, they're pretty elaborate stage settings. They usually get into town one day before. What if we can track it back to when the Guns N' Roses were on tour, were due the night after the Monkees did a show in one of the towns.
I think that would be amazing, and I think that's a podcast, like a 10-minute podcast, just track them in and out.
That's a good track. If I get time, I'll do that. All right, ready for the next one?
Yeah, if you don't have a Crazy Train song call you.
That's coming up. That's a little bit down the list, but I want to play this whole. I like this one. It's So Easy. This is a song about when the band was living with groupies. They had no job, but they basically would couch surf. The groupies, the girls would pay their bills, feed them, and then go do a show.
And go do them after the show to get their reward. Welcome
pretty much.
Rock.
So here it is. It's So Easy.
Try to please them.
There you have it. It's So Easy. I like that one because, you know, Axl Rose was voted, and scientifically, he has the best voice, dynamic range, octave per octave per octave per octave, than any other singer, performer in entertainment history.
I wonder where he grew up.
That's what you got to go on Google it for.
Google, matter of fact, we can Google in a minute. We're going to see where Axl Rose grew up.
Probably not. This is a live podcast.
Didn't Paradise City, that's where he grew up.
Paradise City. And you know how he got there? He took the night train.
I was just going to say, or his girl Michelle drove him.
So anyway, I like It's So Easy, not because it's about living the groupies, just because there's so much dynamic. Remember I can't remember the office store, but you push the button. That was easy. That's what that song reminds me of. It's So Easy.
That wasn't the Kinko's? No.
No. Home Depot or Home Office Depot. Depot. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, a lot of Office Depot's closed.
Yeah.
Or sucked them out. Yeah.
Sucked up by whole office. Anyway, Night Train. This is a song about the cheap California fortified wine. Perfect. Night Train. There's half a Night Train for you.
Found out where Axl Rose was born. He's only 55 years old, which I'm shocked about.
Yeah.
Lafayette, Indiana, of all places, like almost in the heart of America. It's amazing, man.
Because I remember the stories about when he took a bus, went to L.A., got out, and that's kind of the story of what the start of Guns N' Roses, you know? I can tell you what Axl Rose's real name is.
Don't know that one.
Bill Bailey.
Oh, wow. Bill Bailey.
Slash's real name is Saul Adams.
And he was born in London, of all places.
Yes.
I'm shocked. So I think
he was a military brat.
Yeah, by coastal or by over the water international. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, rock and roll.
So what do you think of Night Train?
Who can't use one of them? Never want to come back.
I mean, that between starting out with Welcome to the Jungle and It's So Easy and Night Train, the album gets a good flow going. And I think that's one of the reasons why album rock has never... The classics never went away with album rock.
And they never
rock.
Will because rock and roll... It's like that song says, here to stay, it'll never die.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it was in the 50s, 80s,
exactly.
2000. Good music, good music.
So here's track number four. Here's Out to Get Me.
Out
Track number four, Out to Get Me. I imagine, you know, that song, it took me a while and it grew on me. Kind of like a road trip song, throw it in the cassette, flip it over, and eventually you just kind of like, wait a minute, I forgot to hear that song.
It's like one of those ones you go, you pull off the road and it's like, shit, this is a biker bar.
Yeah.
And it's like you're with your family and then it turns out they're the coolest people. They get that bad rap, you know, like, oh, it's a biker bar. Shit kickers are going to kill you, blah, blah, blah.
It's got a Chevy Chase family vacation theme to it, you know.
Pull off the main road of America.
Going in, hey, can anybody give me directions? And, you know, next thing you know.
Or kind of like Pee Wee Herman when he did the bar scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's got that feel to it, you know. All right, number five. I know a lot of the fans like this song. Not so much before. This song, I got to kind of parallel with It's So Easy. It's got some cool jive into it, some good background. Anyway, it's a song about heroin.
Oh, nice.
Mr. Brownstone.
It's life that's rock and roll.
Yowza! Now, that's kind of cool, that last part there. I mean, that yowza is kind of like the cherry on the heroin sundae.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's like when he gets a good dose and he's just like that, or he gets a bad dose and he gets the up and down, because yeah. There's a few versions. Now, real fast, the OxyContin is a synthetic version of that song.
Yeah, and it's going to be worse.
And it's an epidemic, and it's like you hear something like that, you just like,
Farinol, wow. Pronouncing it, it can, that'll just drive you into convulsions immediately.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that's Dancing with Mr. Brownstone, which brings us to our next one. I think this is one of your favorites, Paradise City.
Yes, because that teaches you about life, because it is a paradise city, but if you get caught up, wow. Just listen to this song.
Oh,
6 minutes 45 seconds, the album long version, not that little pansy 3-minute FM radio version. That's the full version.
You know what's amazing about that, like we were talking about on the down low, trying to, is about traveling. That's, yeah. You know, they rocking and traveling, yeah, all over the country and the world. Just traveling, being able to pick up and go and disappear and just do to yourself for 3, 4, 8 months in a summer or a half a year. Just, yeah, take life experience.
I mean, if you don't get the album, this collection, for anything, that should be one of the top three right there.
Exactly.
Because you get the full-length version, not the edited music video, not the FM shortened version of it. Because that's like that is Guns N' Roses choir. Oh, that's an operatic opus right there.
Love that.
You know, it's just, it does it. It does it well. Next track. This is a song. This is one of the non-hits, but I like this one a lot too. It's called My Michelle. This is a song that was based on the real person of a friend of Slash's from when he was in junior high school, that Axl wrote. Okay?
Ready to play this, My Michelle.
Okay, I figure it just came back to me why it is I like that song, okay?
Good.
Well, it's got somebody named Michelle, okay? You ever have like remember when you're in high school and you have that short infatuation, or maybe over a girl, or she's your muse for about like 14 days, 2 weeks, maybe 10 days tops. That's
like Stacy's mom.
Like Stacy's mom, yeah. It was my, because see, I was in high school. I was either my junior, I think it was my junior year, and my younger brother Harold, he was 1 or 2 years. I can't remember. I don't know if I was just, anyway, but 2 years behind me. He had a friend named Roy. And Roy had an older sister named Michelle.
Whose infatuation, yours or Harold's?
I don't want to say mine.
Oh,
mine.
Okay, there we go.
I was infatuated with my friend Harold's, I was infatuated with the older sister of my brother's friend. There.
Hey, that's why you like the song My Michelle.
Yeah, and but for some reason, it was just more like a, not an infatuation, it was like a muse, you know?
Yeah, hey.
It was kind of
I had a muse with the beginning of the song. I had a little trip of cocaine, did a little oxy, so I did synthetic heroin, never shot it, thank goodness. But now, getting into these songs, Mr. Brownstone and My Michelle, wow, this band was heavily into the 80s, wow.
I just remembered their last name, and I should probably say it, just because... If you're out there, hey, reach out in like an old telephone.
Reach out and touch someone, like it says.
Their names were Roy, that was the brother, and the older sister, only two kids, it was Michelle, and their last name was Groot. Like, I am Groot.
Yeah, or that damn root in the ground. They probably teach them, what do they call that other thing, bigger roots, whatever they call them, I don't remember.
I don't know, but anyway, yeah, My Michelle, Michelle Groot, that was for you. Let's get into track number 8. This next song, this is one of those songs that grows on you, but it's kind of one of those album fillers at first. Think About You. That song again, revisiting it. I like that. Well, I'm gonna guess it's a harpsichord going on in there.
That's the first time I ever heard it, so that's pretty good.
That's the first. Well, you know, you fall in and out with these songs all the time, you know, because they're album tracks, and of course, FM radio don't play it.
Like you said, we are doing a college radio, our version now of the 80s. Like,
yeah,
let me go get a beer. Oh, look at the melons on her type of thing. This is
I was
rock.
Gonna say, like, at the time, it'd be like, yeah, I'm 23 or I'm 24. Yeah, this is a big deal that I'm doing. College radio is a big deal.
Yeah, and I'm sleeping in my mom's basement or on a thing. I'm living life, man.
So anyway, next one, Sweet Child of Mine. I'm 50-50 on this. I think the song is about Axel's love affair with Erin Everly, which is the daughter of Phil Everly, the Everly brothers.
Oh, wow.
Now, at the beginning, you know how it starts? That do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that high-pitched. You know the circus medley that goes doo, 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 doo. This is where, you know, this is where, think about this, or not think about you, but think about this, okay? Think of that circus medley, okay? And then a slash plays the opening notes of Sweet Child of Mine. Think of it as just a little more echo, a little sped up, a little more played on a guitar, okay?
I think that's an amazing analogy. That's awesome.
Well, the notes match up. The notes match up. Here we go. gotta get it out to the very fade.
Now, on some versions, you hear like he's yes. purring like a tiger or a lion in the desert.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, the jungle.
I mean, because that was like the 6 minute album version, which you're not gonna get in the music video, or you're not gonna get in the single on that you hear on the radio. So it's kind of good. This is a reason why you need to support Guns N' Roses again and go buy the album.
Go buy it. Go rent it. Go chip in with your friends.
Go rent it.
Yeah, go rent it, because I'm yeah. Oh, they used to do that.
You and your military buddies can together, the four of you can, one of you can buy the vinyl album, and then you can make 3 cassette copies, and then you can listen to it that way.
That was a long time ago. They don't do that no more.
Oh, I remember doing that. That's
yeah, but nowadays it's like, well, we'll just send it to you, boom, YouTube, it's done.
Yeah, but we were talking about how much simpler it felt back then. To me, the most technical thing at that point in time was a pager and a fax machine. 2 things that I knew and still kind of know I would not want anything to deal with.
And there's one spot I know of in America that's the same type of behind the times, 20 years behind the times, Fayette County, Pennsylvania. It's like the shit locks up at 1 o'clock. You might get lucky, go to another club, the gun clubs or something, if you know somebody to get in, have a couple beers.
No, that's not Amish territory, is it?
No. Okay. That's all the way up in the hills with the hillbillies right outside West Virginia. The real shit kickers, man.
Because we're talking to Wild Sweet Child of Mine. I'm thinking, I cannot even remember what the music video looks like.
Well, that place still exists where you watched it on the TV. Yeah. And I still think people have the old TVs. They're the old river towns that roll up at night that everybody knows everybody still.
Well, at the end of the recording session of this podcast, I'm going to go look it up. Anyway, track number 10. We got 3 to go. Again, this one, I'm kind of relating to this song because it's called You're Crazy. That's a sentence that I've been wanting to say to some people here lately, you know?
That's like not even say. It's just like you automatically think. I'm not the crazy one, and people are just... I think it all revolves around that digital, like we talk about, from the pager technology to stress to today's Spotify, satellite radio, whatever else. Unbelievable.
So here is You're Crazy.
Don't stop.
That's like a theme song.
Especially nowadays.
Hardcore for nowadays. It's just, you know, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm just kind of Switzerland on that one, actually, to tell you the truth.
No, I like that when he just says, you're fucking crazy, and it just shuts down.
Yeah,
your voice.
Yeah, that's it. No questions about it, no arguments, but they're going to want to argue anyway. All right, second to the last song here. This is the track called Anything Goes.
I wonder if this is about groupie life, on the road life, or what this was about.
To me, this is one of the songs that wasn't a hit. Maybe it's filler. Hey, it's kind of like You're Crazy. So there's Anything Goes. The beginning of that song, there's that. It sounds like he's taking the guitar pick and running it on the bass string somehow there to get that effect.
Wow.
At least that's what I'm guessing. Okay.
Just wow. Axl hits that deep high, but he can get to the lows.
That's why he is. To me, you know, sure you can have Mariah Carey, you can have Selena. No. The best vocalist of all time has got to be Axl Rose.
We need to get a residency of Guns N' Roses here in Vegas for like a month and just have a crazy rock festival.
Would that be safe?
Oh. I think nowadays it would, because we have enough security around.
You
and enough
hope
eyes
so.
In the sky and drones, whatever
and
else they have.
Axl is 55 years old. Maybe he's a little calmed down, you know. All right, so brings us to our last song, Rocket Queen. According to Blabbermouth.com, they put all the songs from Appetite for Destruction up to their fans to vote which was their most favorite song. And out of the 12, Rocket Queen was the most favorite song that came in at 21%.
Wow.
But which is interesting is they say, you know, this whole article, but they don't tell you what the other 11 songs were in percent-wise. Good going, Blabbermouth. Good going. What's funny is I commented that on their Facebook page. And just to be ornery, I put something like, well, this is interesting to find out Rocket Queen's at 21%, but why don't you list the rest of the songs? That makes no sense. And just to be ornery, I will sometimes misspell words because I know it irritates some people to death knowing that you've misspelled a word. So I misspelled sense on purpose.
There we go. Wow.
S-E-N-G. It got two people to comment on it.
Nice.
And it's just like, if that's all you have to do.
Nice. Welcome to surfing the pages of social media.
So here's Rocket Queen.
Thank you.
Yes.
You are 100% right. That's got a mix of Paradise City in there.
Yeah.
And
Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes, Welcome to the Jungle.
It's got that breakdown. It's like, kind of like Welcome to the Jungle 2.0.
And you hear when he goes, yeah, like...
Or you're looking into a mirror reflection of an alien parallel universe of it. So anyway, that's been our review of the first 12 tracks, Disc 1, Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses. Three more parts coming up next week.
Part
Disc 2. The B-sides and the EP.